Welcome to Expanding Your Faith, a podcast hosted by Bishop Greer Godsey of the Old Catholic Churches International. Expanding Your Faith brings together a panel of well-educated clergy and laity to discuss modern events with a biblical perspective. Our podcast is about to start. Please stay tuned. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Expanding Your Faith. I'm Bishop Greer. Joining me tonight, as usual, is Reverend Mark.
Greetings, everyone.
And Bishop Ben.
Blessings to all.
Well, tonight, I don't know if I should call it a treat, but we we have a bit of a treat for you tonight. We're going to talk about cigars. That should fill about half an hour, 45 minutes. As for those of you that watch in our studio audience every week on younow.com/Bishop Greg, where you can join us every Saturday night at 8 p.m. for the live recording of these podcasts, you probably see that Reverend Mark and I are usually sitting here with a cigar and coffee. So our two big things. And so we sit here and we smoke our cigars and we drink our coffee and we solve world problems and tell no one. You know, kind of like Pinky and the Brain, you know. Tonight we thought we'd talk a little bit about cigars. We got a chance yesterday. One of our local cigar shops, and they have a little smoking lounge in the back. And we got a chance to go and sit in their smoking lounge and talk and smoke cigars. And, there was a whole group of other people there too that, you know, nice and friendly. And because, you know, to a certain degree, you know, smoking cigars is one of those niches that, you know, we kind of have to be nice and friendly to the people who are also cigar smokers because we're so small a group of people. So, a minority of a minority of a minority. So, anyway, it's a beautiful smoking lounge. Have some brand new lockers they've put up so people can keep stuff there for when they want to come and have a good experience. And then while we were there, the gentlemen who were there, they broke out a bottle of whiskey and were sharing it around, even offered some to us.
Yeah.
So it was... Yeah, it's kind of one of those things. It's camaraderie along with, you know, something to do and something to experience.
Yeah, you know, cigar, you know, the cigar community is a very interesting group because it's made up of all kind of backgrounds and people and groups of... people, folks that are well off, folks that are not as well off as far money wise, and you know, everybody in between. And the thing I like about most cigar communities and interactions and places, you know, like we saw yesterday, and I've experienced this in multiple cigar lounges, one of the most prominent examples of that was when I was in New York and I was on Wall Street. Went to a lounge there and, of course, knew no one. Walked in, got my cigar. The lounge was downstairs from the humidor. And there were people, Wall Street types there. There were blue-collar workers there, city workers, regular folks, myself. And you know, as soon as I walked in, you know, no one knew me, and, oh, hey, how are you? Come on in, have a seat anywhere, blah, blah, right. blah. And everybody was just talking up a storm, and you had all those interactions of, you know, vastly different societal people. But in a lounge, they were just all folks enjoying a cigar. I enjoy that. I always, you know, if I'm out in a place in a setting that allows cigars, it's always interesting to have people come up to me. How many people tell me how much they love cigar smells, you know, tell me either their first cigar experience or they've never had a cigar and would love to try one, all that stuff.
Right.
And people that do smoke always want to know what you what you like and
right.
what, all that stuff. So, smoking cigars has been something that I've enjoyed for many years. And I was thinking on the way over here, it's been quite a while since I've started smoking.
Right. I started... Well, there are some things that we just can't share on air.
Well,
I started smoking when I was very young, but it was mostly cigarettes. But I transitioned to pipes and cigars when I got down here in 2003. So that's what, 21 years ago?
Yeah. I was trying to remember exactly what prompted me to be interested in cigars. But one of my good ministry friends that would come, minister for me at my first pastorate. He was a singer, songwriter, musician, and I'd have him come, and he'd do many concerts, and then speak for a little bit, and then, you know, finish out a service, and a really good friend, and he smoked cigars. So I kind of picked his brain about him one time, and he kind of gave me a little bit of an overview of what to choose and how to start. And
right.
I remember the first cigar store I went to was in the mall over next to JCPenney's. It was a little cigar store. It had kind of a small humidor. I had this figurine out in the...
Huge figurine out.
And he had I can't remember if he had a pipe or a cigar or whatever out the walkway there. Went in there and had my first cigar experience buying. I remember going home, you know, lighting up the cigar, not having a clue what I was doing. And then the next time my friend was in town, we found I had a balcony at the apartment that I was in at the time, and we sat out there one night and enjoyed some Macanudos. Those are a brand, they're very light, and found that cigar smoking, because I'm very sensitive to smell, I have a very, very sensitive nose, and I enjoy the aroma of a cigar. If I'm walking, you know, if I'm out in like a crowd area or somewhere downtown or something like that and smell a cigar, it's a very unique smell to me, and it catches my attention right away.
Right.
And it's very much an escape for me. It kind of zones me. So it's probably been about 2005 or 6-ish, I think, was when I explored my first cigar, and a lot of trial and error.
Right.
For all our wine aficionados, this is kind of the same thing in the cigar world. There's so many different types, so many different flavors, so many different brands, and so you kind of narrow down what you like.
And that can take a little while. I started off with cigarettes and then moved to what we're called Bandits. Those made me sick as a dog. And then moved on to Cigars and Pipes. And I started out more with a pipe first off, and a friend of mine lived here in the Augusta area, kind of helped me learn how to take care of a pipe and use a pipe, you know, all the ins and outs of purchasing, you know, tobacco for a pipe and whatnot. And, but we didn't focus too much on cigars. Cigars was one of my things I just kind of had to learn on my own. And so, I would just occasionally go to the cigar shop and pick up a cigar or two and try them out until I found something that I liked. And my first experience with a cigar was not exactly pleasant, because you see, there's no, well, there is a manual, but nobody reads the manual on cigars. And so, I lit up my cigar and I took a big old draw on it, sucked it into my lungs,
ooh,
and then about vomited.
Well,
it wasn't quite instantaneous, but it was pretty close.
Well, having been a cigarette smoker, you were just kind of, I guess, probably doing what you were accustomed to.
I was doing what I was accustomed to, and I can tell you that a cigar smoke is a lot heavier than a cigarette. And so if you inhale the first time, you will get sick. You'll get dizzy. And you'll be asking what in the world inspired you to do this stupid thing. And so, but I didn't let it dissuade me either. And so, it did take me a few weeks before I went back and got another cigar, but I did finally go back and get a cigar. And so my particular favorites tend to be cigars that are Connecticut, which are a lighter leaf and they're not as stout of a tobacco. They can come in all kinds of different flavors and profiles. It's just like Reverend Mark says, just like a wine. You know, cigars have different profiles, different flavors. Cigars pair better with certain things. So some cigars pair better with coffee, some better with wine, some better with bourbon. You know, just kind of depends on what you're doing and what you're drinking with it. So mine tend to be Connecticut's, they tend to be Churchill Leans, which are rather long. They're about 7 inches or so long.
Churchill's are usually 7. Yeah, 6.5, 7.
Yeah, and then I usually get a fairly decent size ring size. Not too huge, although we haven't done some rather huge ring sizes. Which is the size of the cigar round. And it is the ring size. And those bigger ones can smoke for a long while, and sometimes they can smoke for a short period of time. They can be stout or they can be mild. You definitely don't want to buy Churchill that's got a huge ring size that's ultra stout when you're starting out. You want to do small cigars, lighter leaf, smaller ring size to start out, ideally.
Yeah, I'd never smoked cigarettes. I've tried a cigarette, but I've never smoked cigarettes. I don't like the smell of the particular smoke of a cigarette. So it's never been something I've enjoyed. I also smoke Connecticut blends, anywhere from six up to the seven and a half inch Churchills. And the ring size is usually 60 or so. Because I like to enjoy my cigars. I like to, because it's an event for me. It's a moment of kind of, the cigar kind of helps me to center and to just zone out, because I have to focus on the drawing, the keeping it lit, and stuff like that. I was fortunate that I spent a, like I do most things that I venture into, for the most part, I spent time asking somebody that knew about them, and they had encouraged me, you know, stay away from the convenience store cigars.
Oh, yeah.
Because those generally are a little difficult to handle versus, and with cigars, you know, it's kind of like wine. You really don't want to go super cheap. Sometimes the cheaper cigars tend to come unraveled while you're drawing on them. I've also found that some cigars that are, you know, dipped in rum or bourbon and stuff like that, those will also unravel a little bit because they're weak because of the flavoring. But, you know, you have your Maduro, your Toros, your Connecticut's. The Toro is usually one of the stouter blends. The Maduros can are stronger than Connecticut's, which are very mild. Maduros sometimes can have a little bit of a sweet, but they're also very strong. And as a general rule of thumb, and this is not one that's accurate all the time, you know, the darker, the stronger. But that's not always the case. You know, yesterday I tried a cigar that was labeled as a Connecticut. I may have had four or five draws to it. And it was very spicy for me. It was very stout. And it was a very light-colored cigar.
Yes, it was.
And I knew if I'd have kept working on it, I would have been very lightheaded, sick. And so I hated to waste it, but it was just a nasty cigar. It was not to my palate. It was a, you know, what the most expensive cigar, but it wasn't cheap either. It was, I hated to not do it, but I'd rather, you know, say, well, I just ate $6, $7, $8, then be sick the rest of the day.
Right.
So, it's very much a hit or miss. I've gone through a lot of different brands. There's a few classic brands that I like. Monte Cristo, Macanudos are still my favorite. Those two. A Romeo cigar is pretty decent.
Rocky Patels.
Rocky Patels are good. Rocky Patels have gotten stupid expensive. They went from being a decent priced cigar to very expensive. You know, $5-6 extra.
Pop, and I got this new one that I've been working on, so I can't even pronounce it.
It's the Aroma de Cuba
cigar
that you tried yesterday.
Aroma de Cuba.
Yeah, that's a good one. It's this one's supposed to be a Churchill, but it's probably about a 6.5 inch. It's a good ring size. It's pretty mild.
The Connecticut of that was, I got a Connecticut and I got a Toro in that one.
Especially Connecticut.
And the Connecticut was a lot better than the Toro. The Toro was a little bit stout, not quite as bad as a Maduro, but it was kind of stout.
Romeo and Juliet's.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Romeo and Juliet's are good.
Those are pretty good. The ring size is very, very important. So,
yeah, that's how big around the cigar is, and it. For some people, they like smaller cigars, like Cigarolas. But others, they like rather large. In fact, like yesterday, sitting in the smoking lounge, you had ring sizes from probably 40 all the way up to 80 or so.
Yeah, there were some big ring cigars there.
Yeah, there were some guys puffing on some pretty stout cigars. One of them had one that was probably about a 60 ring, but it was only about 4 inches long. And he was sitting there puffing on that. So
I usually like 50 to 60 rings. Anything smaller is. I just like to have a good. I want to know that I'm smoking a cigar.
I like to go to the cigar shop and find the biggest I can find.
Those are fun.
And bring them to Mark to smoke.
I've had some big ring sizes before.
Some of those lunatics can get really, really big.
Big.
There's a brand called Lunatic. They do one that's about an inch round. And about 7-8 inches long. And then there's another, I can't remember,
LFD?
I think it's LFD.
Yeah.
They make a really large one, too, that we've tried. And it's actually pretty good. We've gotten the smaller size of it a few times. It's not a bad cigar, not terribly expensive either. I tend to smoke cheaper cigars. I don't smoke service station or Walmart cigars, but mine are usually $2.50 to $3 a stick, which is kind of on the cheap end. And that's a brand called Factory Throwout. I get their 99 Sweet Cigars.
Those are good cigars.
They are. They're really good cigars.
And got then, us through the hurricane.
That's right. And then my step up from there is the Drew Estate Factory Smokes, their sweet cigar. And they're both about a 50 ring size, and about a 6-7 inch, you know, Churchill. So they're pretty good cigars.
Yeah. Of course, the Churchill is famously named after the Prime Minister from Britain, Winston Churchill. He always smoked the long. He was always smoking cigars, the long cigars. Yeah. I'd love to do that. You know, be at work all day having a cigar beside my desk. And,
right.
During the pandemic, when I worked from home, I did that periodically. I'd work at my office, you know, open the window and shut the door. It didn't keep the smoke from escaping the room, though, so I stop doing that. if I'm home and working from the house, you know, working from home, and the weather's pretty nice, I'll sit outside on my patio, have a cigar, work from home. And that's very relaxing. I get a lot of work done. It's amazing how much work I get done doing that. It's just kind of zones me. And it's not a, I don't get a buzz from it or anything like that, but just the smell is what I enjoy. I enjoy the smell of a cigar and the taste. You know, I enjoy a good taste of a cigar. Usually when you get about two-thirds done of a cigar about the size that I have right here, it's funny how rough it starts tasting.
Oh, yeah, it'll start getting a tar taste after a little bit. And that's when it's time to go, okay, it's time to stop this.
Does Bishop Ben smoke cigars?
I think occasionally, Ben. Don't you smoke cigars occasionally?
Yes, I do. I like the Drew Estates and the Factory Throwout ones. I'm more of a sweet kind of person cigar, like the chocolate flavored cigars, vanilla cigars. I do like occasional stout ones. Depends on the mood I'm in.
Right.
I like the ones that you do, Bishop. The ones that are the light wrapper ones.
Yes.
They're real good. I'll take a stout every now and then, but very rare. I'm more of a pipe kind of person.
Too. Right, right.
I like pipes, too.
I love pipes.
Well, we found a cigar some time ago that we really like, too. We only do it occasionally because it's a little more expensive. It's $14, $15 a stick. but it's called Dolce.
Yeah, those are good. Ooh.
And those are by Drew Estates as well, under a different brand name. It's like Tabaco or something of that nature. It's what they call a Dolce cigar. It's kind of got a sweet coffee-ish type flavor to it. Those are pretty good. The Javas, if you can stand a square cigar, the Javas are a coffee-flavored, kind of mild cigar.
What did you buy Luna yesterday?
I got her a Gurkha Coffee. Yeah, Gurkha has one called the Gurkha Coffee.
Did they have Javas there?
They did. They had Javas. I was a little iffy about starting her with a square cigar.
Yeah, I'm not a... Those are... What do they call those? Bookshelf? Book something cigars.
Yeah.
I don't like square cigars. I'm not a big torpedo cigar person unless I can cut most of the pointy end off.
Right. Torpedoes are those that have a pointy end on basically both ends.
Mm-hmm.
And they can be a little... difficult to smoke because if you don't cut it just right in the right spot, it's hard to draw it because the ends are wrapped so tightly. So I don't particularly care for torpedoes myself. I like the rounded top cigars. Makes it a little easier to cut, a little easier to smoke. Plus with the rounded cut, you know, if it is stopped up or whatever, you can't seem to draw on it. You can run a pipe tool down through it and open it up. Whereas with a torpedo, if you try that, it just busts it all to pieces.
I used to cut my ends quite often on my cigars, and you could have the same problem where they just come unraveled. Now that I learned just to do the punch, it enables the draws. Not as much, so the scar lasts a little longer.
There's a couple of different ways you can cut them. You can cut a cigar in a V-cut, just what it sounds like. It's a V-cut top of the cigar. Or a punch cut, which is like a hole punch. It's a little circle in the top of the cigar. Or you could do what's called, you can just cut the cigar and... I don't know where my pipe cutter is, but anyway, the pipe cutter is basically two blades that just snip the top completely off the cigar. And the problem with cutting the cigar is that it typically will unravel easier. And secondly, you also tend to suck in little bits of tobacco as you smoke on a cut cigar.
Very much.
The punch usually doesn't have as much of that. It can happen, but not as badly. And I've never tried a V-cut.
Bite the ends off.
Yeah, some people used to bite the ends off their cigars. Yeah.
I could do that in a pinch, but it tends to pull a lot of the outward wrapper off. And so, makes a bigger mess than it's worth.
Exactly. Unless you get the cigars that have the wrap at the top, the bulb. If you get the cigars with the bulb, you can usually twist those off and smoke it without damaging the rest of it if you're careful.
Have you all had a Havana?
Have I had a Havana?
I have. That's,
what do you think about it?
It's been a while, so I don't remember it much.
I did have a Cuban once. Friend of mine went to Cuba and bought a small thing of cigars and brought them back. They were like eight little cigars, more like cigarolas in the package. And we tried those. And I'm going to be honest with you. I am not sure what the great draw for a Cuban cigar is.
Yeah.
Most of ours are Nicaraguan and Dominican Republic. And they're just as good as Cubans.
My first
well, the Cubans are I find them real stout, but it's a matter of taste, I guess, for people, for Cubans.
Well, my first Cuban cigar came, you know, of course I'd heard a lot of people talk about Cubans, Cuban cigars, the best and everything. And my first Cuban cigar came from a guy I was dating. His father, who was retired Master Chief of the Navy, had some Cubans that he got in somehow, and he gave me a couple. And one was a little bit pretty stout, another one would, I guess, be classified Connecticut. And I didn't see much of a difference. I like Monte Cristos better than I do the Cubans. So, you know, I think it's one of those things where you're going, you know, oh, I've got to drive a Mercedes.
Right.
Versus, you know, no, I just need a Toyota.
Right.
You know, it's kind of a, oh, I have to drive one of these. I have to do this. And, oh, I only smoke these this type of cigar. And, you know, I admit I do enjoy a good Monte Cristo Classic. That's my favorite cigar. It usually has a wonderful taste to it. But I don't buy it that often because right. It is expensive. I usually buy it for Christmas, New Year's, my birthday. You know, if I go on vacation, I'll grab one and have it a particular night or whatever. So it's only a special occasion cigar for me because it's just too expensive, you know. Now, if somebody were to just be like, hey, I'll buy you a lifetime supply of Monte Cristo Classics, I would definitely not say no.
Right.
But hadn't had anybody beat down the door yet to do that.
You can mail those donations, too.
Yep, and I will share some with Bishop. Yeah. I love, and that's another thing, I like sharing cigars with friends. I like buying a cigar. We do that with each other often. We'll find one and try it. It's like, hey, let's see if we like this one. Some of them we get, we like. Some of them we get, we're like, okay, well, that was
it good.
You know, we know we don't like that one.
There have been a couple of times where I've gone and bought cigars, Reverend Mark's gone and bought cigars to give to each other, and then we arrive and realize we both bought the same thing.
Same thing. We just keep our cigars.
Great minds think alike, you know.
Well, I like the, like I was saying earlier, I like the camaraderie. I've taught a few people how to smoke cigars, and they've actually got into it now, and they actually really, really like it. And, you know, to me, I'll try to go in every other month or so, wherever I go, and say, okay, let me get one I've never tried before. See if I like it, a brand, that is. And, see if I like it. Sometimes I like them. And, there's a couple of cigars that I used to smoke all the time that I can't smoke them anymore because I don't know what they've done to them.
Right.
But they're just so stout and so, they're just heavy nicotine, which is very weird. And so they buzz me a lot and I just don't like that.
Right.
So I haven't bought those before. And you can, it's like in a bottle of wine, you can get a bad one here and there. If I consistently get bad ones, then I'll just move on to the next thing.
There's a good cigar for newcomers too to try. It's called Trader Joe. And they're really good cigars. They're not terribly expensive. They're smaller, so you kind of get an opportunity to use them to step up. And they're rather mild. They're not stout. So,
Macanudo's a good one, too. Because they have their Hyde Parks are smaller cigars. They're, don't quote me on this, but sometimes maybe $8 a stick. And if you don't, the Hyde Parks are really good. They have a new one out. It's a white label. It's about $10. Very well wrapped. It's extremely mild. That's a good one. It's not flavored. It's just, you know, the leaf. I used to smoke all the time a Macanudo Times cigar, T-Y-M-E-S, and that was one of my favorites. And then I can only find it anymore through the distributors, the, you know, cigars.com or Best Cigar, whatever. And I've ordered a few of them, but they were about 6.5 inches, 6 inches, 50 to 55 gauge, and they were just great.
Right.
Used to smoke those all the time, but can't, unless I special order them, I can't get those anymore.
And just have to say, if there's any cigar distribution people watching or listening, I guess, we are open to doing a regular cigar comparison chat if you want to send us cigars to try out. We would be happy to do the occasional cigar review. I love trying new cigars because it's always a new adventure, you know. Not every cigar is the same. And, you know, there are also new brands coming out all the time, new companies starting up. So I like to give everyone a chance and a try. And our local cigar shops don't stock everything under the sun, but they do try to rotate out with new stuff occasionally.
It's very interesting to note the cigar shops, the difference in them based on what they stock. You know, we have one cigar shop here that's they stock very stout tasting cigars. Come to find out, that's what they like. The other cigar shops tend to, you know, stock a lot of the same brand. Some of them, we went to yesterday, they tend to stock a nice, you know, sample of cigars. Very well organized there. And I, you know, I appreciate that because then you can get a nice sample size. And so, have you been to many lounges?
I haven't, no. In fact, that's the first lounge, well, second lounge I've been to in Covington. Second lounge I've been to. I just like the lounge atmosphere. I think it's,
yeah.
I mean, even the one in Covington, there were about 7 or 8 guys there. One lady, we went, and they were all so nice and friendly, and they also had one of the cigar reps there who gave me a deal on some cigars from their brand. Try their brand out, so that's always fun too.
If you can catch, I've been to a few places in town, out of town, where if you catch the reps
right
on a rep day, they'll sometimes cut you a deal. You know, buy one, get one half off, you know, half off everything if you buy so many. And if you enjoy the cigar, which a lot of times they'll let you, you know, go ahead and get one, and then if you like them, you can go do the deal, and that's fun. Those are, a lot of times they're offering like the more high end stuff, and so I tend to not like some of those high end cigars, you know, mainly because they're so expensive. But a lot of times they bring the stouter mixes and leaves, so I don't care for those that much. And, you know, I have had people make fun of me because, you know, I tend to get my Connecticut blend cigars. I had one person make fun of me, and I said, well, I can just stop buying them from here if that works for you.
Right. That changed your mind real quick.
Well, no, we're just, you ever tried? I said, yeah, I've tried these other things, you know. I've had people give me, well-intentioned, give me really stout cigars, you know, heavy cigars, and I give it a try, you know, but when I've milked it for an hour and I've barely gotten to a third of it, not even a third of it, and I keep having to put it down more than I'm holding it, it's time to move on to the next thing.
Right.
You know, be appreciative. I'm always appreciative, and I'll try them. Usually, after about 4 or 5 draws, you know, if a cigar is going to be good for you. Because sometimes the initial light of a cigar is a little strong.
Right.
Bishop Ben says, have you ever thought about starting an interfaith cigar group like Episcopalians, Lutherans, Roman Catholics, etc.?
Well,
we've thought about it, and we do get together sometimes with an interfaith group of people. Presbyterian minister in town, Southern Baptist minister in town, also likes cigars, and a UU minister. So we'll occasionally get together with them and smoke cigars. Not all together at one time. You have to get everybody together at one time.
I think it would be, in the mental sense, healthy.
I think it would. I agree.
Get a bunch of ministers together, and sometimes they can brainstorm and think about stuff that to help one another think through some dynamics. Maybe stuff that somebody's going through that somebody else has already gone through, and how they resolved it, or pitfalls, the don'ts.
Right. Gotta get together with everybody. Have a cigar night.
The problem is getting a bunch of ministers together for cigar night.
Yeah, that's the main problem, is getting all of our schedules to sync up enough to
we get the heavens to align.
Do you all own a humidor yourself at your house, or not really?
Yeah, Mark and I both have humidors. They're not walk-in.
No, but I mean,
unfortunately. God, I'd love a walk-in humidor.
Reverend Mark's next project is probably to change his guest room into a walk-in humidor.
Don't threaten me.
I would love to see that. Wow.
So, I have a humidor that holds about 40 cigars or so.
That's not bad.
30 or so. Quite 30 or so. Depends on the size of the cigar.
I guess mine would hold a little under, mine probably holds about, depending on the size, but if I got like a, 6-inch cigars or less, I could probably put about 20 in mine, maybe less.
That's not bad either.
Mine has a mine has a glass top, so that I, or cut out for glass inserted, so that I can see what I have, so that it doesn't, so I don't have to open it to see.
I know what I have.
Particular about your brand of humidor you all use? Are you all particular about that? Like some people are.
I'm not picky, no.
Mine's just a wooden humidor. Those are the best to have. To keep it humidified, I just get those little packs called
Movita pack.
Movita pack. I used to do the mix, the solution mix, quite often.
And then they have these called water pillows.
Never seen those before.
Well, those you actually can re-wet and use.
Yeah.
Those are reusable. The Bovitas are not. They basically, when you're done with it, you're done with it. You throw it away and get a new one.
But they keep, those things work.
They're about $8 or so for the really big one. But they'll last up to a year in a small humidor. Big humidor, they'll last probably 6 months or so. So,
mine lasts for a while. This one lasts a little less sometimes, I guess, because I'm opening and shutting it. It's probably not as insulated or secure. I don't know. But, good. I would definitely invest, if you're going to have cigars on the regular, I would definitely invest with medium to, small to medium size that'll hold cigars, because they will dry out pretty quick. And,
oh, yes.
Because it's a leaf.
Have you all seen the electric humidors they have?
Say that again, Bishop Ben.
I said, have you seen the electric humidors that they do have? I like them. The electric ones, you plug them in, and they have a reservoir you put the still water in, and it does that automatically.
No, I haven't seen those.
I'm kind of basic.
Yeah. the shop that I go to here in the Houston area has one. They're like a couple of hundred, but they're nice. They hold a couple of hundred cigars. They're electric humidors.
Those ones I saw last night were big.
So Reverend Mark has his eye set on one that's the Lincoln Memorial.
Ooh, really?
It's $500. You open it up. It's got these shelves, these racks you can put cigars on.
Yeah,
it'll probably hold 150 cigars.
Yeah, that's a nice brand. That Lincoln Memorial. I've seen that one. That's a nice brand.
How much was that last
time? $500. $499, some change.
Maybe they like, they'll give you a clergy discount.
So, if you'd like to donate to Reverend Mark's Humidor Fund,
I don't have anywhere I could really, because mine is on the edge of my desk at my office desk at home.
Right.
And my office is not huge. It's not teeny tiny, but it's not huge. I got a bookshelf in there. I've got a clock in there, grandfather clock that was given to me. And then I've got a file cabinet that's pretty big, and half a file cabinet that's pretty big. And so I don't have a lot of room. And that one is, I mean, it was...
Oh, it's huge.
It's a big... It's very nice.
It's probably the size of that tabletop, pretty close to it. It was pretty big. It's a huge humidor.
I would like to... have the resources to be able to fill it on the regular.
Right. Be able to fill that thing up. Hamlet's used to be a good cigar brand. I don't think we have Hamlet's here.
I don't think I've ever had a
Hamlet. I've heard of them, but they're usually in the UK.
Yeah.
Bishop Bell used to smoke those.
Yeah, we don't have them here. At least nobody here locally has them. So, I got to see the most expensive cigar in the shop yesterday. That was a $49 cigar.
How big?
And it was probably 10 inches long.
Wow.
About an inch around. And it had laser engraving figures on the leaf. Wow. It was like $49 a piece.
$50 for that cigar, it better be a damn good one.
Right. That's for people that just have money to burn.
Right.
Yep.
Hey, we just don't have any more money.
And it was a torpedo on top of that.
Wow.
Just can't.
That'll take you what? An hour to smoke it or two?
Easily.
Yeah, that's easily.
That's an hour or two.
That's an all night.
Yeah, that'll take a while.
Now, question for both of you. Are you all toasters of your cigars, or do you just let them up and go? Or do you all toast them?
I typically try to toast mine first. Sometimes I forget. But I will toast it sometimes and before I light it. And I've watched Reverend Mark enough to know he does too. Most of the time.
Some cigar fans say that toasting is better, but some people say it isn't. It's a very mixed opinion.
I don't toast mine. I draw as I'm lighting it.
Okay.
So I find that for me, that's the quickest way to get it lit. And then, because you toast it, but it's not going to. It's not gonna really light that well, and then I. To me, you toast it, and then you got to put it in and draw on it anyway and light it at the same time. So I just killed two birds with one stone. Some cigars don't like to burn even.
And then there's also the debate over matches or lighters.
Correct.
Some people say matches make it taste better. I've tried both ways. I really can't tell much of a difference from my perspective. I tend to use a torch, a butane torch.
Yeah,
I like the torch better.
Because it's so much easier to light a cigar with a torch.
Especially if you're outside.
Yeah. A Bic lighter, you'll take forever to try to light a cigar, and you'll never get it lit evenly. So... I use Zippos are hard too, even. you really have to have that forced flame to light a cigar properly.
I'm impatient. I want my cigar lit so I can enjoy it.
Right.
So I use a torch. Mark has a torch. That's how we typically light our cigars.
Yeah, especially if I'm out, like if I'm out with friends and maybe go to a bar that allows us to smoke at an outdoor patio or something. Especially if you're outside. God, you're trying to light with a match. It never fails. If that's all you have is a match or a Bic,
wind is going to pick up.
There's going to be some type of wind. It can be very small, but it's going to be a nuisance wind. There's been times I've worked 10, 15 minutes trying to get my cigar lit. By that time, I'm ready to throw it across the room.
I feel you. So I try to carry a torch with me everywhere. I got several all around me. I've got a ton of torches.
I got one that I bought a little bit ago that fits on my belt. And I like that. It just fits on my belt like a pocket knife.
Right. That's good.
I like those because then I don't have to fumble in my pocket. Although I'm waiting for somebody to stop me next time I go to the bar. What is that? It's a torch lighter. Feel free to look at it.
So Nate wants to know what your first cigar was. Yours was what?
My first cigar was a Macanudo. I think it was a Hyde Park.
My first cigar was a Romeo and Juliet.
That was my second.
Mine was a very deep one. Swiss or Sweet.
Well, my very, very first cigar, I don't really count Swiss or Sweets too much, but my very first cigar was Swiss or Sweets. But we lived in my hometown of Hopkinsville, Kentucky. It has one of the largest Swiss or Sweet factories in the South. And so it was kind of a,
well, you smoke with cigar because you get it at the gas station. So
right. Cafe Cream. Very cool.
I used to get, I think they still sell them at the places we go. They were called Miami Sweets. It's a cigarillo. And a lot of times they were the orange one, orange packs were dipped in rum.
Right.
The other ones were dipped in, I don't know what else, I only got the rum ones. But I would take those if I was, going out with friends to a club or a bar. And they were small. So I could get the cigarette size.
Right.
And so, but they were called Miami Sweets. And they held together pretty well, and they weren't that cheap. They weren't expensive, but they weren't cheap like a Swisher Sweet. They were well done. And I haven't looked for them in a while, so I hadn't seen any.
There's a brand of cigarillos that I smoked for a while called Cheyenne. And they're actually pretty good. They're like a Swiss or Sweet, except they're a little more high quality.
Mm, I'd try that.
They're not terribly expensive either, so I smoked those off and on for a while. Well, folks, we're running out of time here. Believe it or not, we filled up an hour.
Just talking about cigars.
Mm-mm. So, so glad y'all could join us tonight for the podcast, and we will be back next week with our next exciting adventure, and I'm going to try to set up a couple of special episodes throughout January, but we'll have more on that in the weeks to come. Thank you, Reverend Mark and Bishop Ben, for being here tonight.
Appreciate y'all joining
us, and till we once again attempt to expand your faith, keep shining bright, my friends. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Expanding Your Faith. For more information on Expanding Your Faith, check us out on facebook.com/expandingyourfaith. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and wherever you find your podcasts. Until next week, when we once again attempt to expand your faith, keep shining bright.